Welcome back to eBay Radio, where every segment is top-rated and all returns are hassle-free. Now, here's your host, Griff.
And this segment is brought to you by ShipStation. Wherever you sell, however you ship. We've been reminding you for months now to add product identifiers to your listings for new and manufactured refurbished listings in many categories, very specific categories, in fact. The deadline for doing so was February 29th. But we know you still have questions about this requirement, so here now to answer those questions is David Warman. He's eBay Senior Manager for Seller Experience. He's joining us on the phone now. David, what exactly are required product identifiers?
Well, what they are is, and hopefully you're all aware of this at this point, are brands, global trade item numbers, GTINs, which are generally UPCs or ISBNs for books, and manufacturer part numbers.
So why is eBay now asking sellers to provide these?
Great question. You know, eBay has been a pioneer in e-commerce, and when we all started, you know, people would sell things and they'd write like a blob of text descriptions as far as what the item was, you know, what size it was, what color it was. That worked when, you know, you had hundreds, you know, of listings, but now that we have hundreds of millions, it's really hard for machines to understand what we have for sale on the site. And getting that understanding is crucial for us to be able to deliver, you know, more buyers and sellers, to better match search results, to help buyers off eBay find eBay products. And so if we can structure the data in a way that machines can understand it, then it helps enable all kinds of avenues for increased traffic and conversion.
What is a seller supposed to do in eBay's eyes if their products don't have the required identifiers?
So the key thing here is, you know, not all products have identifiers, and so and even some that do, you can't find them. And we definitely don't want you to break your back to search for identifiers. So if you have commonly branded things, you know, Nike, Adidas, Samsung, those probably have them. So, you know, we'd recommend doing some basic research. But if you can't find it in, you know, 30 seconds, or if you're selling handmade items or vintage items, things that don't have them, you're more than welcome to use unbranded and does not apply as the values for the UPC or NPN.
So we shouldn't worry if we're a seller and we buy products and we don't have any of that stuff. We don't have UPCs. We don't have to worry.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we're well aware that many products don't have them, nor will ever. And so does not apply will always be a valid situation. And so please feel free to use that if that makes sense, if that's the correct thing for your business.
So should sellers, we've heard this conversation, should sellers go out and buy UPCs if their products don't have them?
So there's kind of a nuanced answer here. So the headline answer is no. We don't want sellers to buy UPCs just to comply with our mandate. So if the products don't have UPCs, please don't just go buy some, because that's not really going to help anyone. It just costs you money. However, if you're selling in multiple channels, or if you are your own brand or manufacturer, there might be benefits to you in obtaining them. I would encourage you to do some research. The one caveat that I would add that is, if you are interested in going down that road, there's an official organization called GS1. And so there are resellers, kind of a gray market for UPCs, and you definitely don't want to get those because you don't really own them, and there's a risk of having the wrong information. But if you do want to research that, check out gs1.org. But really, though, you know, it's for most people, it doesn't make sense. And if you don't, if the products don't have UPCs, don't just buy some to comply with their mandate.
Okay.
Makes sense. One of the questions that comes up a lot about this when we talk about product identifiers, and you know that it's natural, you look at your own universe and say, wait a minute, what does this mean about what I sell? And the sellers of collectibles or used or vintage items sold on the site, what they want to know, what does this mean? Or does eBay not want them anymore?
Yeah, I've heard similar feedback, and you know, resoundingly no. We definitely still want them. You know, part of eBay's core value proposition is the array of merchandise we have for sale on the site, and you know, there will always make sense for us to showcase and have used and vintage items. And so, you know, please keep listing those things. You know, we're looking for ways to make this more efficient, but this mandate is definitely not intended to try and chase off those kinds of products.
Right, and those products are very hard to categorize anyway. I mean, outside of just categories. So this is not a either or. We need and want both.
So I'm a little confused again, so don't mind me. Buyers don't search via UPC, so how does adding them to listings help?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I mean, you're right, buyers don't search for UPCs. However, computers search for UPCs. So one of the things that Google just published, actually, Google has a Google Shopping platform, and if you search for retail products on Google, you'll get an array of different websites and products for sale as part of the search results. And in order to play in that space, that data needs to be sent to Google in a structured format. So UPC equals X, NPN equals Y, brand equals Z. And so that's why having that information in the correct place really helps showcase these products off of eBay. And it's not just Google, it's other search engines. And so that's really the intent, is to try and make this retail thing understood by other retail engines, as well as internally on our own website, so we can really do a better job of merchandising and matching buyers with sellers.
So if we would fill in does not apply, do we have any negative search implications at all?
No, especially not right now. So does not apply is a valid input there, so that's not going to hurt in search at all. Now, what will happen down the road later this year is we are growing our catalog of known items, and so we will start to know more when items actually do have a valid UPC or NPN. And so what will happen later on is if you have multiple sellers selling the same thing, and some of them are using UPCs and some of them are using does not apply, what will happen first is we'll send a message to the seller saying does not apply that says, hey, the product you're selling actually does have a UPC, and here's what it is. We recommend that you update your listing. And then past that point, if you have sellers who still choose to use does not apply and sellers that do have the valid data, then the ones with the valid data will actually have improved search results. So there's kind of a journey here. Like, so right now, it's all equal, and there's no negative search implication at all. Later on, we'll give recommendations and guidance, so there won't be any kind of, like, bottom falling out. We'll actually be able to tell you when the data that you have could be improved and give you the correct data, and then give you a chance to update things. And then after all that's said and done, then there will be a chance that there could be a difference in search results, if that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So later this year, so what you're saying is you're filling out the catalog more, right? And so later this year, some of these things that we might put does not apply might really have one?
Exactly, yeah. What we're doing is let's say we have five sellers that sell the same thing. You know, if four of them say that, hey, this thing has a UPC of ABC, then we sort of say, hey, that actually probably is valid because four people are agreeing that this is what the thing is. So at that point, the fifth seller who doesn't have it, we would then go ahead and say to that person, hey, you know, the product in our catalog now has this UPC, and so we recommend that you add it to your listing. And then that's sort of the chance to kind of have the same opportunity there.
So is there anything that we should, as long as we're doing everything we can, if we don't have a UPC, it's okay to put does not apply. Anything else we should be looking for or doing as far as these things are concerned?
So, I mean, yeah, actually. So we have the required identifiers, and I mean, I totally recognize that it's work to ask for this, and so we appreciate our sellers helping us on this journey. There are things that aren't required but are super helpful. So, I mean, as much information you have about the product, if you can put in the item specifics, it helps you and it helps us. So, you know, what color it is in the color field, you know, what size it is in the size field. Any attributes that you can put, it really, you know, it helps. If buyers are doing filtering, you know, on searches, it helps make sure that your products show up on the right filters and that, you know, it just gives you a chance to make that sale without disappearing, you know, if you don't have the right, or you're missing things about your product that would help a buyer.
I have some wine cozies that were given to me as a gift in a casino situation.
Ah.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Okay. And they've got the casino name on it.
Right.
No UPCs, no nothing. Ever. Probably these kind of promotional items may never have them on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could that be true?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Those were never meant to be sold retail. I mean, like they were never, you know, intended to be sold on a shelf. And so that's they won't have UPCs, and that's exactly the kind of thing that, you know, would be a perfect does not apply candidate.
Okay, got it. So, Griff, have what about your shirts?
Well, none of them will have UPCs unless they're new in package with the original labels.
Used clothes are not
used clothes
under
become,
this.
Right, and it would be very difficult with the vast array of used apparel going back, you know, several decades now, that you'd be able to find UPCs for them.
So, David Warman, how long have you been with eBay?
About a year and a half now.
Oh, where
That's
were you
all?
Before? Where
Feels
were you
like
before?
It's been years, David.
No, well, before eBay, I was at a different marketplace in the U.S. That, you know.
The A word?
Name's not. Yeah, the A word.
Yeah.
The A word? You can say it. It's okay.
We just call it the A word here.
Right.
So, so a year and a half. So you know him, Griff. I mean, you guys
Dave
work
and I
close,
sit close
together?
We work closely together, and we sit next, not too far from each other.
Oh, great. Okay.
I can holler out, David, and he can hear me.
Well, good. Okay, so David, you can come on from time to time if there are any changes.
Yeah, certainly. I'd love to.
Well, we appreciate it. We've been speaking with David Warman. That's spelled W-O-H-R-M-A-N, and he's eBay's Senior Manager for Seller Experience.
This segment was brought to you by ShipStation, wherever you sell, however you ship. The phones are open, 888-723-4630. Don't miss a moment of eBay Radio.
Selling is your business, but you can't sell without knowing how much items are worth and, more importantly, how much they're likely to sell for. Find out at WorthPoint.com, the largest online resource for researching the value of your art, antiques, and collectibles. There are over 200 million sales records, so you can find your item, figure out what it's worth, and price it to sell. Check it out for yourself. Visit WorthPoint.com and register for a 7-day, 7-lookup free trial. WorthPoint. Find it, value it, price it.
Once you've joined the eBay Radio Group, take a few minutes and subscribe to the eBay Radio Group newsletter. It's the second post on the list of discussion threads at ebayradio.com. In it, you'll find simple instructions on how to subscribe. Then you'll receive a show reminder right in your inbox every Tuesday and Thursday, complete with show info, a show calendar, and on Tuesday, the secret word. The eBay Radio Group newsletter. Subscribe today and don't miss another issue.
Hello, eBay seller. We're the new kid on the block. We know when you source smarter, you sell better. That's a fact. So we've created a new service for eBay sellers. We're Bulk, spelled B-U-L-Q, but pronounced Bulk. At Bulk.com, we offer you a new, more comfortable way to buy wholesale goods. Our products come from major U.S. retailers who like to move excess, open box, customer returns, and salvage inventory quickly. Our pallets offer a complete manifest of every item, so you know exactly what you're getting. And some pallets are as low as $200, so you can start small and grow with us. Rest assured, we stand behind the accuracy of our manifests in both condition and composition, and we even handle the shipping to your home or office. Visit us at Bulk.com and browse our pallets like any new kid on the block. We want to meet you. Bulk.com. That's B-U-L-Q.com. The new way to buy liquidation goods.
When it comes to shipping software, you've got plenty of options. But only ShipStation has been voted the number one choice of online sellers. That's because ShipStation makes shipping faster and easier than anybody else. ShipStation lets you automate and customize pretty much everything, from importing and processing orders to mixing and matching carriers. You can brand shipping labels with your logo, product photos, FAQs, do wireless printing, and a lot more. You can even include a return label. You're not tied to your computer either. ShipStation lives in the cloud and offers the first shipping software mobile app, so you can ship from anywhere, anytime, at the discounted rates you've come to expect. Add it all up, and it's easy to see why ShipStation is number one among online sellers. Get a 30-day free trial at ShipStation.com.